just flourishing. Leads us here.
Last week we talked about how having a daily appointment with God, or a quiet time, or devotions, or whatever you want to call it, is so important. And I encouraged you that it doesn't really matter what you call it. What matters is really that you do it, and that you somehow build into your day a rhythm of spending some time alone with the Lord, where you focus on your friendship with God. And we talked about how it's not only a good thing for you, but it's also really good for the people around you. It's good for your spouse. It's good for your children. It's good for your the people that you work with. It's good for your friends. And so today I want to take that just one step further and talk about Bible study, the spiritual discipline of Bible study. We're doing this series on spiritual disciplines. And so let's go one step further and talk about, I've had people say to me, okay, Jeannie, you've convinced me I need to have a quiet time. What is it that I'm supposed to do during this time? How do I fill the minutes that I set aside for my appointment with God? What do I do? Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So first of all, I just want to say this. Don't make it hard on yourself. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. It doesn't have to be perfect. And your quiet time doesn't have to look like somebody else's quiet time. Everybody's different. And so their Bible study time is quite probably going to look completely different from somebody else's Bible study time. No comparisons, right? Each person's Bible study time will look different. Don't compare and don't expect perfection. That's your first point. Don't compare and don't expect perfection. I was at my sister's house in Chicago one time, and we had finished drinking an entire case of Diet Coke. And she took the box, and she started opening up this empty box and folding it flat. And then she ripped the box in half. And then she ripped the half a box in half. And then she ripped that in half. And I just looked at her. I said, what in the world are you doing? And she said, I'm tearing down this box. And she was ripping that box into teeny tiny pieces and putting it in the trash. And I was like, you are crazy. Why in the world are you doing that? And she said, well, Carl likes for me to do that so we can have tidy trash. No, you're the craziest thing I've ever seen. Right? Well, a couple of weeks later, after I got home, I went out to the garage because I'd finished a 24 case of Diet Coke. And I, you know, I threw it on the floor and I stomped on it and I picked it up and I started cramming it into the trash can. And the strangest thought entered my mind. I thought, if I was really a good wife, I would tear this box down and put it in the trash. And I almost fell for it. And then I thought, that's ridiculous. I am a good wife. My husband doesn't care about having tidy trash. He cares about where I park my car. He doesn't want dings on the doors. And Jackie's husband doesn't care about where she parks her car. He wants tidy trash, right? So here's the thing. Don't compare about your trash or your quiet time. You need to find the thing that helps you connect with God. Don't compare and don't expect perfection, okay? Here's the thing about the Bible. We're studying a book that is ancient. It's one big volume that contains 66 books written by different authors. They're all inspired by God, but we have to understand that this was written to cultures that are completely different from our culture. Different times, different cultures. There's an Old Testament and a New Testament. There's an Old Covenant and a New Covenant. There was God relating to man through a nation with laws and blood sacrifices in the Old Testament. And then there's God relating to mankind through Jesus and grace in the New Testament. And then God sent the Holy Spirit to the church in the New Testament. And so there's this intricate, complex book. So because of all of this complexity, the very first thing that I'm going to suggest to us about Bible study is this. Before you ever start reading the Bible, every time, bow your head and ask the Holy Spirit for help. Because we need His help to understand. Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And that He is our guide and He wants to help us understand. In John 14, 26, Scripture says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Remember last week how we talked about a quiet time being the way we get plugged into the power source? God is our power source, and the Holy Spirit is the part of God who helps us understand the Scriptures. We need Him desperately to be our teacher, and He wants to do that. There's a Scripture in 2 Timothy 3:5 that says this: "They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly." Don't reject the power. We're not doing this thing just to be religious. We're not just checking something off the list. We're not jumping through hoops. We've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us understand. Ask the Holy Spirit for help. He's longing to give you help and insight. He wants to help you understand His Word. He wants it to be light and life to you. He wants the Bible to come alive to you. That's what it is. It's life and light. The Word of God is living and active. It can bring insight and energy to you. So don't forget to start out with prayer. The first thing you do, pray. And we're going to do that right now. Let's pray. Father, Scripture says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law." And we are looking at Scripture today about studying Scripture. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, to guide us, to open our hearts, to soften our stony hearts, to open our ears, to cause us to be willing, God, to receive the challenge that you have for us today, to respond with a willingness to begin to study your word. Not that we would gain a lot of head knowledge, Lord, but that you could begin to change us on the inside in ways, Lord, that would draw us close to you. We ask you to draw us close to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have noticed that I have assembled here a cozy little nest. A lovely place where someone might separate themselves away from the hustle and bustle of life to have a quiet time. How many of your mothers ever get to have a quiet time? Even in the bathroom, you have little fingers sticking under the door, don't you? I know. I've been there. Now, you might love to have concordances and commentaries and Bible dictionaries, and you can do these things. You can order them on the internet, or you can go to the bookstore and buy these things, but you don't have to because you can get them right there on your phone for free, right? It really is a personal preference. And you can set up a special place in your home with markers and highlighters and hot coffee. You can totally do that. It took me decades to get a special place in my home, and I have one. But it's still a mess. It doesn't look nice and neat. And I love it. But you don't have to have that, and you don't have to wait until your children move out of the house so you can have that to have your quiet time. Sometimes your quiet time is just the place where you can go and sit for a few minutes and be alone with the Lord. So don't say, I'm waiting until I can have the perfect setup. Don't do that, guys. The key is just do it. It doesn't have to be perfect. If you wait for things to be perfect, it's never going to happen. So here are some things that you might want to think about if you're trying to figure out how to do this Bible study thing. Josh, have you got a slide that shows different ways to do Bible studies, like boom, 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 boom? Yeah, here we go. You can just read through the Bible plans, like chronologically or cover to cover, do it in a year, that kind of stuff. Maybe you want to do a topical study, a theme study. Maybe you want to do a study on end times, or a study on women of the Bible, or maybe you want to do a Bible study on parenting, finances, something like that. If you want to do a topical Bible study, maybe you want to do a study on a particular book of the Bible. Perhaps you want to do a character study on a character. We're going to look at Peter a lot today. Or maybe you want to do an in-depth Bible study written by other authors. I do a lot of Beth Moore Bible studies. I really like Beth Moore. There are daily devotionals. This is one of my favorites, Jesus Calling. It's by Sarah Young, not our Sarah Young, although I'm sure she could write a really cool devotional, especially now that she's home from Africa. So there are lots of different ways, and you probably want to figure out the way you're doing it before you sit down and start doing your daily Bible study, so that you're not sitting down and just kind of flipping around in the Bible, although you can do that. That works too. I find that the in-depth Bible study is probably my preference, although there were a couple of years when I did the read through the Bible thing. I was told that I could probably do this read through the Bible program in 15 minutes a day. I think it took me a little bit longer. One year I read through the Message Bible, and that was really cool. And then the next year, I think I read through the Holman version. It's always cool to kind of look at different versions and see. It just kind of gives you a fresh approach. And so most days, I will start out with Jesus Calling, even though I've done it lots of years. This is still really cool to me. There's a devotional portion, and then at the bottom there are two or three scriptures. I will look up these scriptures and then see how that scripture leads me to another scripture and another scripture, and so I'll spend some time in that, and then I'll go to the in-depth Bible study that I'm working on. This past year I was introduced to this Sandra Glahn in-depth Bible studies. For the longest time, I would pick these up at the bookstore and look at them, and they're a coffee cup Bible study series, and they have titles like Java with Jonah and Frappe with Philippians. And I thought, I'm not doing that. That's just too hokey. That's just too cootsy, you know, fruitsy cutesy stuff. But this is really good. Sandra Glahn is, she's a professor at the seminary down there. So they're really good, even though their names are weird. So there's no right way and no wrong way to do it. People have different preferences as to how to study the Bible. Here's the key thing. Find a Bible study method that satisfies you and do it. Find the thing that causes you to connect to the Lord. Last week we looked at this scripture, Psalm 17:15, and I, in righteousness, I will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. And we talked about how one of the benefits of spending time with the Lord is being satisfied. So you want to find a method of Bible study that's satisfying to you and that connects you to Jesus. So what I'll do is I'll start out with my devotional. I'll go to my my in-depth Bible study, and then a lot of times I'll get out my guitar and I'll end with worship, and almost always includes some prayer. I have a prayer journal that I write out my prayers in. A lot of people will use prayer cards, and then they'll post them on their maybe on their wall, people or their bulletin board or something. I also have a digital prayer journal where I type my prayers in that is password protected for God's eyes only. If I have prayers that I don't want anybody to see, but I want to type them out, that goes in my laptop where nobody can ever know what I prayed. writing out your prayers is a really good thing. So I always include in my quiet time Bible study, prayer, and worship. I'm going to say, find the thing that stirs you up and excites you and makes you feel connected to Jesus. That's the goal. Not checking off a box. Not saying, okay, got that done. Now I'm off to real life. Because this is real life. This is about a friendship. This is about building a relationship with the Lord, allowing our roots to grow down deep into the bedrock of our eternal God. What you want to do is you want these things that you did in the morning to come up all day long. You want it to bubble up out of the very being of you so that when you're walking along having your regular day, you're finding yourself talking to your friends about what happened in your quiet time this morning. You're finding yourself interacting with your spouse about the things that you studied about this morning. You're finding yourself telling your children about what you studied. Let God's word become a natural part of your life. Let it permeate everything that you do. Deuteronomy 11, 18 and 19 says this: imprint these words of mine on your hearts and minds. Bind them as a sign on your hands and let them be a symbol on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Y'all remember Mayberry RFD? Right? You can just see Andy, you know, right? He's walking along. He's with Opie. He's got his fishing pole, right? You ever wonder what they're talking about? Huh? Andy's just walking along with Opie. He puts his hand on Opie's shoulder. And he's like, now, Opie, you just going to want to do the right thing. You just going to want to love God and love other folks, Opie. That's what you're going to want to do. All the time, Opie, you just do the right thing. Andy's just talking about Opie, about doing the right thing all the time. It just bubbles up out of Andy because he knows God. You just want to do the right thing, Opie. Right? So the things that you do in your quiet time and knowing Jesus is just part of everything that you do. And when you're walking on the road, when you sit out and when you rise up, it's just part of who you are. Because you know Jesus. Because you spent time with Jesus this morning. Where am I? Here I am. Here's another point. Engage the scriptures for spiritual transformation. It's for spiritual transformation, y'all. It's to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's not just to say we did it. Let me read this to you. Something powerfully different happens when we're willing to pay attention to our internal dynamics rather than just reading for information or reading to complete the assigned reading for the day. Say I have chosen a reading program that requires me to read 3 to 5 chapters a day in order to read through the Bible in a year. As I follow the program, I come across a passage in Luke 6 where Jesus talks about loving our enemies as a mark of true Christianity. This is a pretty basic concept that most of us learned in our earliest days in Sunday school. And so it feels fairly routine. If I'm trying to get through the allotted number of chapters for the day, chances are I'll keep charging through the passage so I can check it off the list. If, on the other hand, I'm seeking to engage the scriptures for spiritual transformation, I may also set aside some time to read a shorter passage, 6 to 8 verses perhaps, that I feel drawn to. I savor the words and wonder what is on God's heart for me today. I have no other agenda except listening and deepening my intimacy with God. So I take time to notice that when I read Luke 6:27 and the following verses, I feel a bit resistant. It's pretty subtle at first, but I stop and give myself a little space to notice that feeling and wonder about it. Lo and behold, it proves to be more than a vague feeling of discomfort. There's a fist rising up from my gut that says, I don't think so. And I'm caught completely off guard because I had been feeling pretty spiritual when I began my Bible reading for the day. But rather than judging myself, which I'm prone to do, I wonder what aspect of myself or my life is being touched by this verse. As I sit with my resistance, I realize that underneath all my piety, there's a part of me that is not feeling very loving at all today. In fact, I'm harboring real anger toward someone who has hurt me. I thought I had put it to rest, but on this day, in response to this verse, I realize that the anger is still alive and well. I can see the perpetrator in my mind's eye. The details are crystal clear, along with the injustice of it all, and I feel the anger all over again. No wonder there's something in me that rises up and fights or resists. If that is the person I'm supposed to love, then I don't think so. Now, if I choose to, I can reflect more deeply on what my reactions tell me about myself. How am I doing with the issue of love in my life, really? What does this particular awareness on this day tell me about what I am not like, where I am not like Christ? Am I being transformed into a more loving person, even in the most challenging of situations, or am I harboring places of bitterness where my spirit is closed? What does this tell me about my spiritual condition? Am I willing to look at that in God's presence? Now we're talking. Now God and I can have a conversation that has some substance to it. This is the level at which intimacy unfolds in a way that has the potential to change me in the deepest places of my being. That, y'all, is spiritual transformation. That's real Bible study. That's what we really want to do during our quiet times. Because anything else, it's just head knowledge. It's not really worth anything. So, if one of those things, those options that I've listed or talked about so far, if you're looking for something even less formal than that, let me just mention a few other things. You can meditate on scripture phrase by phrase. I had a friend who told me she was having trouble sleeping one night, and she didn't really want to get up and start looking through her Bible. So she thought about a scripture that she knew by heart, Psalm 23. Everybody knows Psalm 23, right? And so she started thinking about Psalm 23, and she decided to just kind of dissect it phrase by phrase or even word by word. So you can meditate phrase by phrase. And she was going, okay, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the God of all creation, the Lord of everything. Is mine, not my husband's, not my children's, not my friends, and mine. The Lord is mine. He is mine. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, a shepherd takes care of you. A shepherd protects you. A shepherd feeds you. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And she just kept going little by little by little. And by the time she got through two or three verses, all that fear and anxiety that she was thinking about was gone. So you can do that. Meditate phrase by phrase. Here's another way to do Bible study. Write the scriptures. Get out your journal. It doesn't have to be fancy. It can be a regular old spiral notebook or just plain copy paper or a 3x5 card. Just write it out. Sometimes I'll even take the scriptures and try to put it in my own words. Genify it. Bill talks about vilifying scripture. And just try to make it into words that you understand. Use color. Use markers. Doodle. Paint. Scribble. Type. If you type it over and over and over and over and over again, guess what? You're memorizing it. Tricked ya. I got you memorizing it. That's a good thing. Copy it and post it where you will see it often. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your kitchen counter. Put it on your computer. Put it on your dashboard. Put it where you can see it and refer to it often. That's a great thing. Scripture says in Psalm 119:11, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's a great scripture. Here's something that we used to do at DC a long, long time ago. Does anybody remember the soap method? We called them our soapy journals. Soap, write the scripture out, make an observation about the scripture, then make an application about the scripture, and turn it into a prayer. That's a good way. Keep a soap journal. Another great way to study the scripture is to listen to it. Listen to scripture, either being read or being sung. Listening to worship music is a great way to do Bible study. When I was back in the 70s, worship music was straight up scripture. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. And that's the way we sang our worship songs before we would listen to the preacher preach. And so I know a ton of scriptures just because therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. I mean, that's what we sang. We didn't have the fantastic worship music back then that we have today. But, I mean, it was great, but it was verses. Came straight out of the Bible. So listening to scripture is a great way to do Bible study. All right. I was so glad, Bill, that you asked me to pray for Ahava this morning, because this is a great way to do Bible study. Pray scripture. Just pray it. Has anybody ever asked you to pray for them, and then that's all they say? Hey, pray for me. Will you pray for me? And you don't know what in the world they're talking about. Well, do you want to pray? I mean, are you sick? What is it you want me to pray for you? And you don't even know why you're supposed to be praying for them. You can look in Paul's letters or any of the epistles. You can look in the Bible and find the exact right words to pray for somebody. The prayers that Paul prayed for the people that he was sending letters to were fantastic. Look at Colossians 1 through 9. Not 1 through 9, 9 and 10. Colossians 1, 9 and 10 says this. This is fabulous, a fabulous prayer. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Now, I memorized these two verses years ago from the New American Standard, so it's common for me to pray them for people when I really don't know what else to pray. Let me tell you can't go wrong when you pray this for somebody. So when Bill said, "Will you pray for Ahava?" I didn't know he was going to ask me to pray. And I didn't pray it out of the New Living Testament that I just read it to you. But I prayed that she would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, that she would bear fruit in every good work and increase in her knowledge of God. It comes straight out of Scripture. You can't go wrong when you're praying straight out of Scripture. And what a cool thing to pray for a baby. I mean, she's not going to do those things right this minute, but one day we're going to want her to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. She's not even walking yet. But one day we're going to want her to do those things, right? And then I prayed this next scripture, which is out of Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. Have you got these scriptures on a slide? This is out of a different translation, too. Here we go. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Those are great things to pray for people. Now, I know it's a lot of words, and I'm not asking you to memorize the whole thing. I'm just saying pray it. Pull some of those phrases out and pray it for your family or your spouse or your children, or pray for your church leaders. I'll bet you that Bill and John will not mind one bit if you pray that God's love will keep them strong and that they'll have the power to understand how wide and how long and how high and how deep that God's love is for them. That they would be able to experience the love of Christ. That's not the scripture. Here we go. And may you have got the power to understand, as all God's people should know, how wide and how long, how high and how deep his love is. If we can all get a glimpse of how great God's love is for us, pray that for each other, y'all. We have an enemy who doesn't want us to understand God's love. He wants us to be filled with doubt and fear. He wants us to be isolated and distant from each other. But if we begin to pray those things for each other and begin to believe how much God loves us and how strong we can be together as a community, who knows? Who knows what could happen as a result of that? So praying scripture is a good way to do Bible study. So, are we studying the Bible so we can brag, so we can check it off a list, so we can get really strong in our intellect? Nope. It's all about a connection to the Lord, and it's all because someday something may happen, and you may find yourself laying awake at night going, "Dear God, how did my marriage get to this place? Dear Lord, how did my children get so lost? What have I done wrong?" You're going to be so thankful that you know the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You're going to be so glad that you know, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. You are going to be so thankful that you know the scripture, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." You're going to be thankful that you know the right words to say when your children call home from college because they've got a crisis on their hands. When you're sitting in the waiting room at the hospital, you're going to be glad that you have a relationship with Jesus because you've spent time with him day by day by day, morning after morning. You have built a friendship with God. And you're not going to feel like a stranger calling on him. Having an appointment with God is just so good and so important on so many different levels. All right, here's another one. And I love this way to do Bible study. If you don't like anything else I've said, here's one of my favorite things to do. Put yourself in their sandals. This can be a lot of fun. The other night, I need a drink of water for this one. I was teaching VBS. And it was about Wednesday night, and it was a fourth and fifth grade class, and they were the last ones to come in. And as I was teaching them, I looked out at them, and I could tell that they were bored. And it scared me, because I know that, and I've always said, that to teach the Bible in a boring way is sin, which meant that I was doing something wrong. So the next night, I did something completely different. I turned the couches toward each other, and I made a boat. And I went outside into the hallway before they ever came in, and I said, "You guys, it's wet in there. Hurry, quick, get in the boat, get in the boat, get in the boat, get in the boat." And they went running in, and they jumped in the couches. And I went in, and before their very eyes, I turned in to Peter. I can't believe I doubted him. I can't believe I denied him. I told him I would follow him all the way to death. Even if I had to die, I would follow him all the way to death. But then that girl, she looked right at me and she said, I sounded like a Galilean, but I just got so scared. And before I knew it, I lied. I lied about my best friend. He was the best friend I ever had, and I lied. I said, no. I don't know him. 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 No, that's not me. No. But they killed him. They killed him. They killed him. He's dead. He's dead. He's gone. No, he's not. He's alive. I saw him. But where is he now? Where is he now? Oh my God, I asked you, where is he now? Where is he? What am I going to do? What do I do? I know. I'm a fisherman. I can fish. I know how to fish. I'm going fishing. I can fish. They were listening to me that night. See, you can put yourself in that character's place and try to feel the things they were feeling, because these were real people of history, y'all. And Peter thought he was going crazy. He thought he was insane. Nothing like this had ever happened in his life before. So when you think you're going crazy, guess what? There are examples of that in the Bible, and you can find it for yourself. You can find somebody in Scripture who has been through the very same thing you are going through. Your trial is not unique to you. Somebody in Scripture has been through it, and God can help you in whatever your situation is. I promise. Let's go a little bit further in Peter's life. So after Pentecost, after Peter and his friends received the Holy Spirit and Peter becomes the boldest disciple on the face of the earth, he starts going around telling everybody about the resurrected Jesus. Remember, I ended my message last week talking about how when the religious leaders saw Peter and John and they recognized that they were unschooled and ordinary men, but they could tell that they had been with Jesus. Remember that? There's this one time that Peter was in prison and he had 16 guards guarding him. 16 soldiers, and they were going to kill him the next day. Bill preached about this just recently, and he marveled about how crazy it was that the angel of the Lord had to whack Peter on the side to wake him up. Peter was sound asleep, and they were going to kill him the next day. How's that for faith? So Peter is awakened by the angel of God. And they go out of the prison and they get to the city gates and Peter goes in the gate and the angel disappears, right? And so Peter goes to the home of this lady named Mary and he's knocking on the door. And this servant named Rhoda comes to the door. Well, I don't know about y'all, but when I hear Mary and Rhoda, I think about Rhoda Morgenstern, right? So Rhoda comes to the door, and she goes, yeah? What do you think you're doing? Don't you know it's after midnight? Rhoda, it's Peter. Let me in. Peter, get out of here. What, are you kidding me? It's not Peter. Peter's in jail. They're all praying for him now. You're not Peter. Go on. Get out of here. Rhoda. Open the door. It's me, Peter. So Rhoda doesn't even answer the door. She goes running back. Hey, Mary. Mary, he says it's Peter. He says it's Peter at the door. And they go, no, it can't be Peter. It must be his ghost. They've already killed him. They don't even believe that God has answered their prayer, y'all. Right? So we read this passage of Scripture, and these real flesh and blood people lived in a time in history when the church was brand new and God was working incredible miracles and answering their prayer. So we read this story during our quiet time and we know that Scripture says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can believe that God also works miracles this day. And he knows that we have family members who are in bondage and he can deliver them. And he can set them free from their bondage. When we read Bible stories like these, it builds up our faith. It encourages us. So it's not just about having fun acting out the story. It's about reading the Bible and finding a way to apply it to our lives today. Okay, so here's one more way to do Bible study during your appointment with God. We want to actually look at the Scripture where Peter denied Jesus for a minute. Totally into Peter today. So we're going to go to Luke 22:54-62. They seized him, led him away, and brought him into the high priest's house. Talking about Jesus. Meanwhile, Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, and Peter sat among them. When a servant saw him sitting in the firelight and looked closely at him, she said, this man was with him too, but he denied it. Woman, I don't know him. After a little while, someone else saw him and said, you're one of them too. Man, I am not, Peter said. About an hour later, another kept insisting, This man was certainly with him since he's also a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. Then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. So Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. So when I was reading that during my quiet time, just reading through the scripture, I get to verse 54. They seized him, led him away, and brought him into the high priest's house. Meanwhile, Peter was following at a distance. And that verse jumped out at me, and I said, Lord, don't ever let me follow you at a distance. I don't ever want to follow you at a distance, Jesus. I don't care how scary it is. Make me brave. Make me strong. I want to be close to you. Don't let me follow you at a distance, Jesus. Draw me close to you. Draw me close to you. Make me brave. Make me strong when times are tough. Make me bold. Draw me close to you always.